In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. A beautiful Lord's Day today. Every Sunday is like the resurrection, the Lord's Day. And we celebrate a beautiful baptismal liturgy, the ancient sacrament of baptism, in the midst of the Eucharist service, the most ancient way. Very beautiful. And the child of God, Nicholas, his patron saint, beautiful. And it's important we do it together. I mean, baptism isn't a private sacrament. It's not something we do. People often do it that way, but that's wrong, actually. When you become baptized in the Orthodox Church, you're joining a family that is 2,000 years old, and there's hundreds of millions of people in it. So we often forget that. We often think it's a private thing, but no. When someone moves into your house, it'll behoove you to know who they are, right? And so spiritually, this child of God, Nico, enters into our midst organically into the body of Christ, and so his family rejoices, but our hearts also rejoice as well. There was two readings you heard today, during the two gospel readings, one for baptism, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you, and I am with you forever to the end of the age. I'll never leave you and abandon you. So the Orthodox Church has always done this, gone forth from Jerusalem to the Holy Land, to Greece, to the whole known world, for 2,000 years, spreading the gospel, baptizing, and also not forgetting that second part, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and reminding he never abandons us. The Lord never abandons us. And so this little child of God, Nico, unlike the Western kind of distorted understanding of baptism, they say, oh, you have to get the original sin off the baby. We don't believe that. The babies are pure. They don't have any original sin. They have a propensity towards sinning, which you see pretty quickly when you have a bunch of kids, how easily this fallen world takes over, greed and me takes over. But at the beginning, they're pure. So why baptize them? First of all, in the ancient church, they always baptized infants. Whole households were baptized at the same time. Whether you're an adult or you're a child, wherever they found you in life, you'd be baptized. In the book of Acts, you see it as well. So the idea isn't, obviously, Nico doesn't understand it. But it doesn't matter if you're 7 or 12 or 50 or 80, we're never going to mentally wrap our head around how we bless this water and ask the Holy Spirit to come down into it and how a person goes in one way and comes out another way. Or how we take bread and wine and it becomes the Eucharist and Jesus says, if you eat this bread, you'll live forever. I don't want to explain away the mysteries of God by my pea brain. The Lord says to do it and we humbly, like children, say, yes, Lord. We embrace the mystery, encounter the mystery of the living God. And so what happened to Nico today? What's happening? Not original sin being washed off. A new birth through water and the Spirit, as the Lord says to Nicodemus in the Gospel. He's received that new birth. Now death has no sting over a baptized Orthodox Christian. We're all going to die. May Nico live many years and have a beautiful life. But at some point, we're all going to pass in this earthly life. If we believe and live, then death is the beginning of eternity. This life is the first word in the introduction of a book that has an infinite number of chapters, and yet we treat it like everything, don't we? We're called as Christians, especially Orthodox Christians, to embrace eternity. To love this life. This life is very short compared to eternity, but it's essential we don't waste it. So we baptize the child of God to give him the grace of God that he is made for the kingdom of God now. And he lives in this world, hopefully he's raised by his family, extended family, by his godparents, to love God. To love others, to live in this world but not of it, addicted to it, and to be focused on paradise, not to be afraid to die. Most people are terrified of dying and things going bad. For Orthodox Christians, we're not afraid. We shouldn't be afraid of anything. The Lord is with us. He's never going to leave us, he says. So many Christians talk this way and don't live it. So our blessing is that he grows up to be a great one. May Nico be a great one in the kingdom of God. May he be full of love and humility and love for paradise and the taste of paradise. And may the Lord receive him into his heavenly kingdom. That's what's happening today. We step into a kingdom in our baptism. The first words of the Orthodox Divine Liturgy of the Eucharist service is, blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How do we enter that kingdom? By baptism. So today is the beginning of his initiation into the kingdom of God. And for 2,000 years, millions and hundreds of millions of people have been entering that kingdom of God, living in this world, departing, and then living in eternity with the living God. And these icons we have around us of these saints, they're a reminder, as St. Paul says, a cloud of witnesses. They're with Christ, but it's not like they're resting. It's not like they're inactive. No, they are, St. Paul, the cloud of witnesses, like the cheerleaders cheering us on. You can do it. We ask each other, please pray for me. So Jonah, the Godfather, might say, Father, pray for me. I'm a sinful person. Yes, I'm a priest, and I pray for you. Even in my sin, the Lord hears our prayers for each other. How much more so these incredible saints who have finished the fight, fought the good fight, and they live in the kingdom of heaven with Christ. And they're beseeching all of us to live holy lives. We're never alone. We always think we're lonely and we're depressed. If only we'd wake up to the kingdom of God and see that Christ is always with us. The Mother of God, all the saints. Even the church is empty, the church is full with the angels and archangels. And that's the case in the darkest prison camp cell, in Antarctica, wherever. God is never absent. It's we who are far from Him. So what happened to Nico today, what's happening to him, has happened so many times in the life of Christians if we embrace it. Nothing automatic happens. He has to live it, them has to live it, and we have to live it. What happens if we do live it? Well, we have a good lesson today in the gospel. It's a very hard gospel lesson. The Lord is walking with his disciples, and a woman who is not a Jew, right? And they say salvation is of the Jews only. She's saying, please help my daughter. Please help me. Help my family. And Jesus ignores her. Then she begs again, Son of David, please help me. And the apostles say, please send her away. She's annoying us. What? Where's the loving God? And then finally, she bows on her knees and says, please help me. Lord, help me. And he even puts her to the test further and says, it is not blessed. It's not meat that dogs should eat, right? That the dogs should eat from the bread of the children. Wow. People often read this and go, gosh, Jesus isn't very nice. He wasn't very loving. Why would he call her a dog? This is so, the Lord is love. God is love. Think about how many times in the gospel he goes to a leper and touches them. Or the woman with an issue of blood. He's full of love. He doesn't lack love. So why does he do this? For the same reason the woman at the Samaritan well, St. Fotini, well, he tests her. He tests her because he knows every human heart perfectly well. And he knows we need to bring it. You know, if you have kids, I have 8 kids and hundreds of other spiritual kids. And you know that it's very dangerous as a parent to just give your kids whatever they want. They should struggle for a skill, struggle for a discipline. If you give them everything they want with no struggle, they're a mess. They're a nightmare. So you challenge them, let them struggle a bit. That's exactly what the Holy Father said the Lord did to this beautiful woman who came. He was going to use her to show that salvation isn't just for Jews, that Christ came for every single person. But he tested her and he knew her humility. Listen to how humble. The spiritual life requires stick-to-itiveness, dedication. So often we start living the spiritual life. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to do it. And then someone offends you. Or God doesn't answer your prayer right away. And you go, this is so unfair. Think of this lady. She didn't give up. She was persistent. It's not mean. You can't eat from the bread of the children. Called her a dog. But she was so humble. She said, yes, Lord. The most beautiful words. But isn't it okay even for us to take the crumbs from the table? The master's table. And the Lord said, she has it. And he revealed something that the apostles didn't even know yet. That he had come for every human soul from the beginning until the end of time. Greek, neither Greek nor Jew, nor black nor white, rich and poor. Every single human soul Christ came to redeem. It's not about being an ethnicity or a certain thing. That's so universal and beautiful. But imagine our response would be, oh, you offended me. You can't be very nice. Right? A priest gives a hard word to somebody and they go, oh gosh, you're so mean to me. Right? Or you read the gospel and something offends you and you go, this can't be true. We're so easily offended. Our egos are so big and so sensitive that if the Lord pokes a little bit, how dare you? If our wife tells us, why are you criticizing me? You see, and in the spiritual life, we can't make any progress if we have full of our egos. The Lord knew that she could bear this. And in her humility, what does he say? He turns as an amazing thing. How many of you, this is not very orthodox of you, have seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the movie, the old one? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. You know we're in America if you said that. I love that movie for a number of reasons, but you'll remember the whole idea of the movie is that he's trying to find a humble, honest child to inherit his whole fortune in his factory. And at the end of the movie, he's so harsh to that young boy who was the only honest one. And that boy could have walked away and said, no, you're so mean to me. But he wasn't. He made a promise, and he went back and he kept that promise. And the second he showed his honesty, that man, Willy Wonka, who was so mean to him, turned and smiled and said, you passed the test. What do you mean? He said, you kept your honor. You kept your promise. And because of that, he inherited the whole thing for his family. I love that analogy. It's very similar to what the Lord does with us often, with this lady today. He makes us work for it a little bit. And we don't like that because we're lazy and easily offended. So don't be depressed if it takes a little work. If you pray for a week and go, Father, I prayed for a week, it's not working. Give it a few years, right? I tried fasting, it doesn't help anything, I'm just grumpy. Give it a little bit of time. The Lord says, with patience, possess your souls. And we're so impatient. We want things right now, streaming, immediate. And the spiritual life is so utterly not like that. It's so hard for us. The Lord wants to save every single human soul. But he can only do it with humility. Humility is the only path, and our egos are so big. For some, it's a gentle touch. For some, it's a hard rebuke. Whatever the Lord, and it's often different at different times, whatever the Lord chooses to do to you, whether it's sickness, or it's someone offending you, or it's a hard, or God feels distant, don't give up. This woman could have walked away three times and said, how dare you insult me? I'm not a dog. She didn't do any of that. She was humble, humble. And the Lord rewarded her discipline. It says the Lord rewards those who diligently seek him. I think we diligently seek lots of things, don't we? We diligently seek a good job. We diligently seek a home for our family. We diligently seek health. How often do we diligently and with order and heart seek the kingdom of God? I fear all too little. We expect God to do it. We throw scraps at God. I want us to be inspired today by this incredible woman. This incredible woman, what does the Lord say to her at the end? He says, he's amazed. He says, he hasn't seen any faith like this in all of Israel. She's greater faith than the apostles. So don't be down in despair. If you feel like, God's not hearing my prayer, this is so hard to be a Christian. It's worth it. Don't give up. Joachim and Anna, they were hated by the people, not hated, but they were despised by the Jews around them because they were old and had no children. God had cursed them according to the Jews. Years and years of disrespect, and they never gave up on God. And God gave them those beautiful Virgin Mary, who gave birth to the Savior of the world. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were mocked as well. No child, God is cursing you. They didn't give up. They persisted, and God gave them the most beautiful child, John the Baptist, as a gift. One of the greatest men ever born of woman. So we see a common theme, brothers and sisters. Patience, patience, patience. Elder Kleopa of Romania, they'd ask him, what do you need? He'd say, patience, 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 patience. And then he'd get sick of him saying it. What else? Well, you need some more patience, patience, patience. And then another truckload of patience, he would say. We're very quickly offended. I know I am. I'm very quickly annoyed. We expect everything quickly, you know. I'm amazed in this Viber app, you know, I can text someone in Romania or in Serbia and they get it right away. My tech idiot brain goes, that's unbelievable. And we often expect the spiritual life to be that way. I can get it on Amazon tomorrow. I can come to your front door. Anything worthwhile comes with effort. We live in a society that wants to remove all effort. But it doesn't bring joy, does it? So may we be re-inspired in our own baptisms today. Those of us who are baptized, seeing the baptism of Nico. May we pray for him. Those of you who are adults and not baptized yet, the Lord welcomes you. When that enter that water, he's a little kid. When adults enter that water, nothing survives it. Death doesn't survive it. No sin survives it. You come out a shining new human being. And there's no greater feeling in this whole world. So don't delay baptism, whether you're 80 or you're little. The Lord is calling all of us. And may we emulate this beautiful woman who shows us that God came for every human soul. We can't give up. You fall, get up. You fall, get up. I'll end by telling you the story from the monastery. A person came along and knew nothing about Christianity and nothing about monasticism. And they went to one of the monks and says, what do you guys do in that monastery? In one sentence. And gosh, the monk said, wow, one sentence. That's hard to do. And he thought and he said, we fall and we get up. That's what we do. That's a beautiful description. That's a spiritual life. We often strive and then fall and go, oh, woe is me, I'm a terrible person. Which is really just self-loathing and pride. It's our own pride. We think we're amazing people and we fall. How can I be so bad? We are. We're all idiots. I'll speak for myself. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all judge. We all hate sometimes. We all have lust. We all have pride. We all have... So just be honest about it. And don't try to keep up this fake persona, which we do to the world. We come to the church and say, God, I'm so messed up. I'm so broken. But it doesn't have to remain that way. And in baptism, and in repentance, and in prayer, and in fasting, and in love, and in receiving Holy Communion today, you can be a transfigured person. You can go from being a great sinner, which we all are, to God really redeeming your life. And the more you grow, the more sinful you see yourself, and yet the more sanctified other people see you, and the Lord sees you, most importantly. My prayer is for all of us to grow in the grace of God, to begin by acknowledging, first among all, that I'm the worst sinner in this parish. I'm not just saying that. We really have to believe that. That we're the sickest in the hospital. Then we can't judge anybody else in the hospital of humanity. And we just go to the Lord, who's the great physician, and say, please heal me. And you know what? These saints in the walls show us that they were messed up people big time. But God transfigured them, and God can transfigure us. He can transfigure little Nico. May he grow into a holy one. May all of you grow into holy ones. The greatest depression in this life is not to become a saint. People often hear that and go, oh, it's not an orthodox statement. It is an orthodox statement from the fathers. You're called to be holy. Agios, set apart, different than this world. It begins by acknowledging you're not a saint. By begging God and saying, I want to be. I want to be holy. I want to be loving. I want to be humble. And I'm going to give it all I have and diligently seek you. Baptism is the beginning of that seeking. And for the rest of us, it's living this life in the church. Don't delay, brothers and sisters. May we have the humility of this lovely woman to never give up, no matter what, Lord. Yes, I'm a dog. Yes, I'm a sinner. And then the kingdom of God breaks open to us, and he bestows his grace if we seek him with patience. Please, brothers and sisters, never get up. Give up. Let us claw our way together, dragging each other to the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.